Second Peter 2, Peter's warning us about a very present danger and a very common problem that there are false teachers among us. And we have to be aware of that and be careful of that. And how can we know who they are unless we have them identified for us? And so Peter's been describing their character and conduct so that we can recognize them and avoid them and not be taken in by them. It's a very great danger. You know, people have a very loose and lax attitude about God's word, don't they? You know, as long as you're worse than God, you know, He accepts you. All the beliefs are the same in His eyes, and it doesn't really matter. Is that what the Bible says? No, there's only one truth, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the only saving message that God has for man. And if we believe anything but that, we are lost forever and will perish eternally. And so it's not a light matter. We can't take these things as if they were unimportant, or one belief's as good as another. And so Peter, of course, speaking from God, tells us how serious this is. And in verse 17, he's describing them by the use of some metaphors. First, he says that false teachers are wells without water, which are basically useless. If you're thirsty and you go to the well, which the purpose of a well is to hold water for your drink, if there's no water there, that well is of no value. It's useless. And of course, God said that the false prophets will not profit these people at all. They won't do them any good, any more than a well without water can help a thirsty, weary traveler. And now you're also, what we've been looking at most recently, they are clouds that are carried with a tempest. Of course, the purpose of clouds is to hold rain so that it can water the earth, and the earth is made fruitful and productive to bring forth crops. So a cloud without rain, or a cloud that's driven off by the wind without ever releasing its moisture, does not help the earth at all. And that's what he's saying here, that they are clouds. We said that oftentimes clouds in the Bible represent ministers. Why? Because just like clouds hold water, ministers are to have for the people that water of life that will meet the need of their soul, that will quench their thirsty souls. And what is that water? It's the water of the sound saving doctrine of the Word of God. And so ministers are supposed to have this doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pour out upon the people so that the need of their soul can be met and they can live eternally and not die of thirst because their souls are parched and empty. And we were saying last time, just like in the natural world, only God can give rain, it's the same in the spiritual world. Only God can give sound doctrine, and only God can give those who teach sound doctrine. False prophets teach falsehood, error, heresy, and so they are of no value. They can no more help a soul to God than an empty cloud can give water to moisten the earth. And we said last time, God not only gives this rain of sound doctrine and those who preach it, but God also withholds that rain as well. Sometimes He keeps back sound teachers and sound doctrine. And this is an act of judgment. You notice in Job chapter 12, speaking of the natural world, the kingdom of nature, verse 15, it says, "Behold, He withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also He sends them out, and they overturn the earth." Or He can bring drought, or He can bring flood. He can hold back the rain, or He can pour it out in abundance. And if the same is true in the kingdom of grace, we saw last time that God says he's going to send a drought and a famine into the land. Not a drought of water, a famine of bread, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And that, I think, is the case today. There's a very, very rarely can you hear good, sound gospel preaching anymore. Often we just hear man-made doctrines and things that are not according to the scripture. And so God gives sound ministers in mercy, just like he gives rain, and he also gives false teachers in wrath as a judgment upon the people because of their ingratitude, because of their lack of appreciation. They don't recognize the value of having a sound ministry and having the truth of the gospel preached on a regular basis and available to them. And they either abuse it, neglect it, persecute it, mock it. And so God says, well, if that's what you are going to do, I'll take it back from you. I'll remove it from you, and you won't have it anymore. And then that's like God saying, I turn you over to your sin, and you will ultimately perish, because without the truth of the gospel, no one can be saved. Now, not only does God give the ministers to preach and the truth that they preach, he also does what? Well, he sends the rain on the earth, but the earth does not bring forth crops automatically or by its own ability or virtue. God has to bless the rain as it falls on the earth and cause it to produce crops. And it's the same thing with the scripture. To some, God gives the blessing of fruitfulness. And to others, he gives the curse of barrenness. In other words, God determines the effect of his word. Remember what he said? My word is just like the rain that comes down from heaven and brings forth bread from the earth. He says, it will not return to me void. It will accomplish the thing to which I send it, and it will prosper in the thing which I purpose to do by it. In other words, God's saying, I determine the results of the preaching of the scripture. I determine that it's preached. I determine what its effect will be on those who hear it. In Matthew chapter 13, see, that's why a lot of people think, well, I'm able to handle this. I can do this. It's in my power. I can decide what I want to do or not want to do with God's word. No, we should come to scripture saying, God, unless you bless your word to me, unless you work your word in my heart, unless you give me the blessing of ears to hear and a heart to receive and believe your word, it will fall on deaf ears. And we should be begging God to make his word effective in our lives. And so in Matthew chapter 13, here's what Jesus said when he was preaching parables, and people were having a hard time understanding his parables. And the disciples thought, why do you teach them things that they can't seem to grasp, you know, that are so difficult? Verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And what was the answer that Jesus gave? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know. Notice, it's given. It's the gift of God to you, personally, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. In other words, what you have in understanding what I'm saying is not given to everyone. It's given to you, but not to them. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. So God gives and takes. Didn't that what Job said? The Lord gave, the Lord took away. It's the same with his word. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And how many people come into church and walk, hear the sermon, walk away, and are no different? Nothing sunk in. It's like it went in one ear, out the other. They didn't grasp hold of what was said, and it made no effect on their life. They left just the way they came. Almost like they weren't there. Or what was said had no impact. And in that is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, as God said, this would be the case when the gospel was preached, which says, "By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Or they don't want the word to have its effect in their lives. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, is he telling them your eyes and ears are different than other people's, or better than other people's? No, he says you're blessed. What's blessing? That's receiving some special gift and favor of God. God has given you ears to hear, eyes to see. And that's why you are receiving the things I tell you. Remember, Proverbs says that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, even both of these are from the Lord. Both of these come from God. What did Jesus say in another place? He says, God has hidden these things, these truths of the gospel, from the wise and prudent of the world, and has revealed them unto babes. Well, why would God do that? That doesn't seem right, does it? What did Jesus say? "Even so, Father." Or is it, "Father, if this is how you work, this is your will and purpose, then it is right and good, and I submit to it. I don't argue with it. I don't say you're wrong, that you're not fair. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." So it seemed good in thy sight. This is God's way, and it's good. And like he told in another place, "Is your eye evil because I am good?" In other words, do we look at what God does and it's good, and we see it in the wrong way with our human reason and think, that's not right. And then we argue and we fight against God's word. Well, one more place, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Remember, the Hebrews were professing Christians, and they had come into persecution from their unbelieving fellow Jews, and many of them were threatening to turn back from their faith, to apostatize, to leave the gospel and go back under the law. And he's warning them over and over against this. You know, Hebrews chapter 6 begins with one of the most frightening warnings in the whole Bible. You know, impossible for those who were once enlightened, you know, if they fall away, to renew them again under repentance. And then he gives this illustration. Verse 7. "For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God." In other words, if you hear the rain of sound doctrine of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, and you bring forth the fruits of repentance and faith and of good works and all the things that the gospel produces in a believing soul, that's from God's blessing. But that which beareth thorns, in other words, you have different kinds of ground. Remember what Jesus said, there's four kinds of ground? And only one of those four grounds received the word and was saved. He says, "But that ground, that earth, which bears thorns and briars, is rejected." In other words, the same rain falls on the earth. Some of it, which is blessed by God, brings forth crops that are useful and nourishing and can be eaten for the sustaining of our physical lives. But then that same rain enables other earth to bear thorns and briars, which was, of course, what God pronounced as a curse on the earth when Adam sinned. Thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth unto you, as you seek to farm and bring forth crops for your physical necessity. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing. In other words, it shows the kind of results that would indicate it's not being blessed by God. It's in a condition of curse and facing His wrath and judgment, whose end is to be burned. And so sometimes the same scripture that converts and saves the soul, when others harden their hearts against it and reject it, it produces all kind of evil consequences and results, which is an indication that these people are not blessed of God, but are rather reprobates, rejected by Him, and are facing His eternal judgment. But beloved, notice, we are persuaded better things of you. He's writing to the Hebrews saying, we believe that you are not one of those drowned bearing thorns and briars and facing God's judgment. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. In other words, we don't say that you're facing judgment and that you are producing thorns and briars. We see things in you that indicate you have faith and you are showing forth the blessing of God by the good fruits your faith is bringing forth in your life. And he describes some of them as he goes on. And so again, to some hearers, God gives the blessing of fruitfulness. To others, the curse of barrenness. And God sends the clouds and the rain, and only God can enable a minister to be faithful and to effectively preach His word. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3? 2 Corinthians 3. He's talking about the ministry of the gospel, how it exceeds the law in many ways. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. We cannot do this. We do not have the ability in ourselves to do anything. Notice he says, to think anything is of ourselves. We can't even think a right thought. How can we ever bring forth a sound ministry and proclaim God's truth? It's not in us. But our sufficiency is of God. It's God who gives us these things and enables us to these things. Remember, God was faithful, he said, putting him in the ministry. And he says here, he has also made us able ministers of the New Testament. He made us this, that we are preachers of the gospel and teachers of the scriptures. He, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You know, grace is sufficient for me. And what did he say? That he labored more abundantly than all the other apostles, but it was not him. It was the grace of God that was with him. He claimed nothing for himself. Only God can give rain, we said before, and only he should get all the glory for it. And that's what Paul is doing here. I can't be a minister of the gospel. I can't preach the truth of Jesus Christ. I'm not sufficient in myself for that. But God has given me what I need to do these things. He made me sufficient. Ministers are to be like the sun. They're to shine out with the light of God's truth. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, Jesus is the light. In him was light, the life was the light of men. He said, "I am the light of the world." But then he says, "You have me. You have my word. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house." What's the purpose of a candlestick? To put it under something so you don't see any light? No, it's to enlighten a room so it's not left in darkness. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." One example of a very faithful minister was John the Baptist. What did Jesus say about him in John chapter 5? John chapter 5. Verse 33, "You sent unto John," this is John the Baptist, "and he bare witness unto the truth." He was a faithful minister. He preached God's truth to the people. And it says, "But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved." Or Jesus Christ, who is the truth himself, doesn't need our testimony, but yet he does see fit. He condescends to use the testimony of men in the ministry of the gospel, in his work of saving souls. And so that's more of a privilege for us than a necessity for him. He honors us with that part in his work. And he says, "He was a burning and a shining light." Notice, burning and shining light. "And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." That's what Christians should be, a burning, shining light to Christ and pointing men to him who is the light of the world. But not so false ministers. False ministers are like clouds. What do clouds tend to do? Well, you either have one or two kinds of days, a bright sunny day or a dark, cloudy day. Clouds blot out the sun and they darken its light. In Deuteronomy, just a few examples of this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, talking about the giving of the law on Mount Sinai and the way that God appeared to them. And it says in verse 11, "You came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven." Well, fire, doesn't that usually produce light? Yes, unless there's something blocking it. Notice what he says. "With darkness, clouds, and thick darkness." Darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. The clouds produced darkness, even though there was fire on the mount. Psalm chapter 36. I think that's the Psalm 97 is what I wanted. Psalm 97. Verse 2, it talks about God's throne. "Clouds and darkness around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne." But again, it relates clouds to darkness because they tend to come between us and the sun and block its light. in Ezekiel chapter 34, one more place, verse 12. God's talking about how his people had been scattered and harmed by their false shepherds. And he says that he will come to their aid and rescue them from them as their true shepherd. Verse 12, it says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So the day when these false leaders, these false teachers came and ministered to the people their lies and errors and caused harm and scattering to the sheep of God, he likens it to a cloudy and dark day. But again, clouds produce darkness. And so rather than bringing people into the light of God's truth, false teachers keep them in the darkness of error. And remember, God's word is the light. That's the light that shines into this darkness that we are in this world. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Well, what a wonderful thing it is when God's word penetrates our minds and hearts and imparts understanding. And only the word of God can do that. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, it's hard to find your way in the dark until God's word comes in and says, here's the way. You know, he points us to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we can be led out of our darkness into God's way by the light of his word. Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says there, but the path of the just, or of believers, those who are righteous in Christ, it is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. In other words, it leads us to heaven where we will be in perfect light forever, no darkness at all. And so God's word is the light, but false doctrines are just the opposite. They are darkness. They leave us where we cannot find our way, and we stumble and wander and ultimately fall and perish. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And we all know what it's like to try to get around in the dark and be tripping on things. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, it says there, to the law and to the testimony, or it appeals to God's holy word, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. False teachers speak contrary to the scripture, and why? Because they are devoid of light. They have no truth of God in them, and so they cannot impart it to others. One more, and we'll close. Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3, verse 5. It says, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, or wander, or go astray. Wow, is that the purpose of a minister, to make people go wrong, to turn them away from God and into paths of sin and error? No, but that's what false teachers do. They make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. In other words, they're only in it for their own personal gain. Therefore, what happens? Night shall be unto you, and you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. They're going to produce darkness for themselves and the people who follow them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. God is not speaking to them. God is not speaking through them. They have no truth of God to give, and so the people who hear them and follow them are lost. And like it says, when the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So I guess the question we have to ask today is, where do I stand in all this? You know, I've heard the doctrine of the Scriptures. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for me and rose again. Have I had ears to hear it? Has it penetrated my blind eyes? Has God opened my eyes to see? Has it reached down into my heart? Has God planted his word in my very heart, and that it illuminates my soul so that I know God and his truth and I walk in it? You know, it says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts that we might have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That God revealed his saving glory to you through the person and work of his Son, not just outwardly where it's come into your minds, you've heard it, but has it come into your heart where you've received it, believed it, and have that salvation of you, for yourself, and is the fruit of salvation showing forth in your life as you walk in the light, as he is in the light, and have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Let's close in prayer.